Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell. I am the co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School and the creator of the Celestial Timings. And this is about the fabulous, exciting, rare, and wonderful activational eclipse that's taking place on May 20th. And one of the reasons it's so spectacular is because that it is conjunct the Pleiades. So once each year, the sun comes around to conjunct the Pleiades, but it's only every 19 years or so that the sun can actually be eclipted, meaning that the moon is going to come between the sun and the earth and cover the sun while it's with the Pleiades. Now, this is an annular eclipse, and the reason it's an annular eclipse is because the moon is far away from the earth. It's at its apogee. And apogee means furthest away from the earth. So it's not quite big enough to cover the whole entire disk of the sun. Even though it comes into an eclipse, if we were at a perigee moon, it would be considered a total solar eclipse. But because it's at its apogee, it leaves a ring of fire around the outer edge of the eclipse. I mean, out of the outer edge of the sun. So it doesn't become total night, or, you know, where the flowers close up and the birds go to sleep like it does in a total solar eclipse. But there are interesting shadows that do appear on the ground, and it feels like there is a cloud passing over the face of the sun even when there are no clouds in an annular eclipse. And it's a powerful energy to be connected to. So if you're anywhere near the eclipse line, and you can Google the eclipse and find maps, some beautiful maps that show exactly where it's happening in different parts of the world, not just the United States. It's actually hitting the United States on the California coast, or the Oregon coast, excuse me. It's going to be near Redding, and it's coming through, it's also going to be through Tokyo and, you know, some of the places in Asia, coming by the Philippines, and, you know, there's different aspects of it that will be visible, but the Oregon-California border is where it's going to actually enter the United States. It'll pass through Las Vegas, and that's kind of the outside of the southern limit of the eclipse, and it will be in Utah and Arizona. Flagstaff is about 12 miles outside the southern limit, and so further north you can get to the exact center line of the eclipse. Bryce Canyon is going to be also part of where that eclipse is going to happen. It's going to go through the Four Corners area, where the four U.S. states meet, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico. And it will head on to Albuquerque, and it's going to have a rare ring of fire for 4 minutes and 26 seconds in Albuquerque. So that's kind of a cool place to be as well. And then it's going to reach its end at the Texas Panhandle from Lubbock, in that range. So again, if you're anywhere near that, you might want to travel to the center line and have the experience of the annular solar eclipse. Now, part of what makes this eclipse so remarkable is, as I already mentioned, that it is connected to the Pleiades. It is with the Pleiades at the time that it's happening. In Mexico and places in south of 23.5 degrees north, so from, you know, we could say anywhere between 23.5 degrees north and 23.5 degrees south latitude on the planet Earth, with 0 degrees north or south as the equator of the Earth, they can experience something called the days of no shadows. The days of no shadows. And so different days on different times of the year, these days of no shadows will happen in certain locations. Just so happens that at the latitude of Chichen Itza, where the pyramid Kukulkan is, that's the feathered serpent pyramid. It's the one that where the serpent illuminates at the rising of or setting of the spring equinox sun, or any equinox sun, actually, the way that the pyramid is situated, the serpent becomes illuminated. And the Mayans were tracking a 26,000-year cycle that included the conjunction of our sun with the Pleiades when it reached the zenith point. The zenith point means when the sun is directly overhead, and that can only happen in the latitudes that I've been talking about. If you're anywhere between 23.5 degrees north or 23.5 degrees south latitude on the planet, then you can experience a day of no shadows, a day when the sun will reach directly overhead, and if you have a straight stick stuck in the ground, say that three times fast, have a straight stick stuck in the ground, it will not cast a shadow. Or that's also like a time when there's no shadows cast on the pyramid. If you stand perfectly straight, you will not cast a shadow. Any perpendicular object will not cast a shadow. The Mayans were so into this that they built zenith tubes. And these were tubes that were like, 9 feet deep, or 9 feet, maybe just a 6 inches in diameter, and they would go down into the earth and open up in to a channel. Actually, I think it was 18 feet. Excuse me, I can't convert the kilometer, metric system to the to our system that fast in my head, but I think it went 18 feet into the earth and opened up into like a 30 foot wide diameter chamber, and the only time the chamber was lit was when the sun was directly overhead, because that's the only time the sunlight could get down into the chamber. And they would do special ceremonies when the sun would light the chamber, and it would be for a few minutes twice each year when the sun was at its zenith point, meaning that it's directly overhead. Now, if you're further than 23.5 degrees north, you cannot experience a zenith point. The sun can look pretty closely overhead, directly overhead, but it is not. It does not create days of no shadows. Now, another piece to just say is that because of the 23.5 degrees north or south of the equator, these are the places on the planet where there's the least change in the climate. They don't have extreme winter and extreme summer. The climate, the seasons stay somewhat consistent. So these zenith days were very important for them for marking the way to know where they were in the solar calendar, in the annual passage of the sun. So there were high ceremonial days, extremely important, and in some ways more important than solstices and equinoxes. So the Mayans built a pyramid at this latitude where on May 20th, the day of the eclipse, there are no shadows cast on the pyramid. It's the day of no shadows in that location. And the sun is with the Pleiades. And the Pleiades to the Mayans was known as the rattle of the snake. And they called it Za'ab, T-Z-A-B, Za'ab, the rattle of the snake. And the Mesoamerican, sort of symbol for the sun looks much like that rattle. And it would be when the Pleiades, like the Stargate, when the rattle of the snake was in place, there's the full activation, and we'll let them know it's the turning of an age, and the doorway is opening to a new reality, accelerated evolution of things, because that would be represented or symbolic. And it also would be at the same time that the winter solstice sun or the December solstice sun would be on the galactic cross at galactic center, and the summer solstice sun would be on the galactic cross at the galactic edge. And so it's a cross check. They kind of happen in the same zone. So it has been happening for a while that the sun conjunct the Pleiades on the days of no shadows has been going on. It's a range of time because it takes about 72 years for a 1 degree shift to happen. So we could say at least 144 year time span that the sun will be very near the Pleiades during the days of no shadows. So it has been going on. But what's interesting about this particular time is that there's also this annular solar eclipse, and eclipses accelerate energy, massively speed things up. And even though they won't experience the full totality of the eclipse down at Chichen Itza, they will experience partiality of it there. And it is an acceleration energy that happens for the entire planet, regardless of where the path of the eclipse happens. So this is why it's so key. This is like the... We could say it's framing it's announcing, or it's bringing our attention to the importance of the Venus transit that will take place on June 5th. This Venus transit isn't as rare of an event in some ways, because it only it happens every 100. Well, it'll happen again in 105 years in this area. In this area of the sky, though. It'll be 243 years before it happens again in this area of the sky, in the same way that it's happening now. And that has a lot to do with Venus magic and so on. And I'll be doing an audio on that. I thought I'd get to it sooner, but I've been working on some big projects. Anyway, that's coming. In fact, maybe I will just go ahead and do a little bit on that. I was wanting to do a PowerPoint, but it doesn't look like I'm going to get that done as soon as I had hoped to do, to describe the just incredible magic of what's going on and how this is happening. But you can see in a lot of the star maps that I've been sharing in the written version of the Celestial Timings where Venus is and where she's going to be when she crosses the face of the sun in between the horns of the bull. And that's a whole other piece that lets us know we're at the turning of an age. And I'll follow up on that in a future audio. So the thing is to, even if you're not in a place where you can see this eclipse, just take some time to tune in and see what it is that's being accelerated. It's all around the Pleiadian energy. It's all around the Taurus. Well, actually, the Pleiades straddle 29 degrees Taurus and 0 degrees Gemini. So it really is, in a way, you know, like I think of it as the reintegration of the heart and the mind. If you think of or the physical and the mental, if you think of Taurus as being very much a physical sign, a physical embodied energy, and Gemini being much more of a mental kind of energy, and the Pleiades actually straddles them at this time. Some of the stars are in Taurus, some of the stars are in Gemini, zero Gemini. It's a remarkable symbol for that reintegration of the physical and mental aspects. With the Pleiadian Stargate, with this solar eclipse that's happening on May 20th, in the days of no shadows for some places on the planet, when the sun is at a zenith point, down at Chichen Itza. We may not know exactly what to say it means, and maybe it's better that we don't, but it is important to know that we can tune into these energies and see how they're helping to inform us, but also being conscious of it so that we're helping to inform this amazing time with our intentions and the way that we show up to participate ceremonially.